that a hymn tonight I think would be familiar to most. What will it be to dwell above and with the Lord of glory reign, since the blessed knowledge of his love shall brighten all this dreary plain? No heart can think, no tongue can tell, what joy 'twill be with Christ to dwell. When left this scene of faith and strife, the flesh and sense deceive no more, when we shall see the Prince of Life and all his works of grace explore, what height and depth of love divine will there through endless ages shine. And God has fixed the happy day when the last tear shall dim our eyes, when we shall wipe these tears away and fill our hearts with glad surprise, to hear his voice and see his face and know the fullness of his grace. Just have a little prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for these times that we can be together and be occupied with what's found in the Word of God. And our Father, we know that the Word of God will always guide us right. It's God's Word. It couldn't do anything different. And so we thank thee, our Father, that we have thy Word in our language to be able to understand and enjoy and allow it to guide us in every matter, great and small. And we realize also, Father, that there's a lot in this world that have no appreciation of the Word of God. And even some that say they do find ways of setting aside certain things that are found there. Oh, Father, help us to cling to the Word, that it might truly be our guide in our lives as we wait for the Lord to come. We pray for dear ones we have on our heart. We think of Henry de Graaff with the growth that he's battling with. Not sure how long the Lord will leave him here. We pray, our Father, that thou would give him and his dear wife and his family that peace that passes understanding. We commit them affectionately to thee. We thank thee for Henry. He's a dear brother. And we just pray, our Father, that thou would put thine arm around him and his loved ones and help them through this difficult time. We pray for Tom Clement and ask that thou would be near to him, help him in his battle with difficulty, health difficulties. We pray, our Father, that thou would help him at this time as well. Pray for our brother Joe here and ask that thou would be near to him and encourage him in the Lord and help him with the health issues that he faces. Our brother David Wright also we bear up before thee and seek thy help. And David Welcher. And then we pray, our Father, for others that we know of in different parts of the world that are going through difficulties. And what a wonderful thing. We all have the same Lord, the same promises, the same Word of God. And we can use that to seek to encourage each other as we wait for the Lord to come. So now, our Father, we commit the evening to thee. We pray that there might be something here that would warm each of our hearts, drawing us closer to Christ in a greater enjoyment and appreciation of who he is and what he's done. And so we ask thy blessing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have on my heart tonight a subject that I think is dear to all of us, and that is, what are those that have gone to be with Christ experiencing now? Most all Christians at one time or another have wondered about that issue. It often happens at a time when a friend or a loved one is taken from us. Now, I think we're aware also that there's a number of unscriptural ideas as to what heaven will be like. It seems the imagination of man is working overtime on this subject. A friend of mine once mentioned that he went along to see this Mormon film, and he was a little bit disappointed. It showed this older couple, and it showed that they got older and died. Then it shows them supposedly to be in heaven. And in heaven, the man takes his glasses off and throws them away, takes his hearing aid out and throws it away. And the wife has certain ailments as well, throws her cane away and whatever. Well, I can see the sentiments behind it, but there'll be none of that in heaven. That'll all be left behind already. I think at a time of personal sorrow, we all wonder a little bit, what is our loved one experiencing now? I've had a time of personal sorrow. I was in the UK at the time, and I was talking to a brother there, a doctor, asking him, what does the Bible say about those that have gone before? He gave me a little pamphlet by John Nelson Darby entitled, The State of the Soul After Death. Well, I think much of what I'm going to share tonight is found in that little pamphlet, but I found it extremely interesting. It was a big help. We have, again, all of us experienced something with a loved one being taken. I remember when my mother was about to go to be with the Lord. She was in California. We're here in Arizona. My sister calls and says, Don, if you want to see Mom alive, you better come soon. So instead of driving, we flew over there. And when I got to my mom's room, she was in a coma. And as far as I was aware, while we were there, she never came out of that coma. But before we arrived, my sister said she opened her eyes and she says, Yvonne, it's beautiful, Yvonne. And my sister says, Mom, what is it? What's so beautiful? And she says, Yvonne, it is so beautiful. And closed her eyes. And that was the last word she said. Well, we've been told that people that are in a coma, they can still hear what we're talking about. And so we were all careful as to what we were talking about. And she held on for a number of hours. The next morning, my two sisters and brother-in-law, they wanted to go get a bite to eat. So they went to the restaurant across the way. And Edna and I started singing some hymns to my mom. Hymns like the one I just read. What will it be to dwell above? High in the Father's house above. A few of those different hymns that speak about being there. And her breathing changed. It was a marked difference. And before my two sisters got back, the hospice nurse said that it's not long now, that she's going to go soon. Well, outside the window, I saw my one sister come, and I went and told her. She came into the room, and just moments later, my mom took her last breath. Well, what will it be? What is it that she's experiencing just now? The scripture speaks very plainly of the Lord's coming, the resurrection of the saints, and that causes thoughts to be going to heaven and have a permanent place in the minds for the Lord's people. Strange to say, the expression going to heaven, I don't think it's found in the scriptures. Though it's alluded to in cases like the thief on the cross going to be with Christ in paradise, I think in the scriptures the thought is always not going to heaven, but going to be with Christ. And, of course, since he is in heaven, that's where we're going to be. But it is intended that Christ would be the attraction and the object before us. Men have strange ideas about what is after death. And like many other subjects, when they do hear the word of God, it looks as just another opinion among many. One such idea is this matter of soul sleep. Some hold that soul sleep will be unconscious until the resurrection. Others have taken it even further and have denied not only that the immediate happiness of those that have departed be with Christ, but they never went to heaven at all. Strange ideas that some people have. What we want to do is have a plain scriptural statement and proof from the Word of God that there is immediate happiness when a believer in Christ leaves this world. The departing Christian waits for the resurrection of the body, and then only will he be his final state in glory. The purpose of God as to us is that we should be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. In 1 John 3:2, we read, "Beloved, now are we children of God, and what we shall be has not yet been manifested." We know that it is manifested. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9, we read, "And as we have borne the image of the one made of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly one." This is our eternal state, when Christ shall have come and received us to himself, raised or changed in his likeness, when our poor earthly body shall have been fashioned like his glorious body, according to Philippians chapter 3. Two things are ours. First, to be like and with him, and second, to be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in him. Redemption has made this ours, but we're not with him yet. Today, we only have the earnest of the Spirit. We look at the first point, that is being with Christ. This brings us to the second point. So shall we ever be with the Lord. God will gather together in one, under Christ, all things, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. In Ephesians 1, verse 10, we read, "For the administration of the fullness of times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things upon the earth in him." And in Colossians 1, we read that all things were created by Christ and for Christ. In Ephesians 1, verse 22, we read, "All things will be put under his feet." Now, in Hebrews chapter 2, we're told that all things are not yet put under him. He sits now on the Father's throne, not on his own. God has said, "Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." The time will come when not only all things in heaven and earth will be reconciled, according to Colossians 1, verse 20, but even things under the earth, infernal things will be forced to recognize his power and authority. Every knee shall bow to him, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's despised and rejected of men, but he is Lord to the glory of the Father. Now, this is what we must wait for. But in the gathering of all things in heaven and earth under one head, Christ, our part, is in heavenly places, and it is our portion now in spirit, but it will be in a future day to be ours in glory. There is that which is ours now, and there is that which will be ours when we are with him. In Philippians 3, verse 20, we read, our conversation, that is, our citizenship, our relationship in life as Christians, our conversation is in heaven. And in the same chapter, in verse 14, where you have your high calling, the true force of the word is calling from above. We're called to be up above with him. In Hebrews, we find he is our forerunner. He has gone before, and we will follow. In Hebrews 3, we're partakers of the heavenly calling. As united to Christ by the Holy Ghost, we're sitting in heavenly places in Christ. In Christ, not with him yet. In him, that is our place. So, when the Lord comes, he will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity. But the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It is clear that God will gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and on the earth. Our part is to be like Christ in glory, and with him forever, and that in heaven itself, blessed with all spiritual blessings, as Israel has their temporal ones, ours are heavenly and eternal. If we are joint heirs with him, we have what is yet to dwell in the Father's house where he has gone before. It is also clear that our hope is laid up for us in heaven, an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It is reserved in heaven for us. Our blessings are where our forerunner is already gone before. And our glory is that we shall bear the image of the heavenly, and shall be forever with the Lord. He is gone to prepare a place for us, and will come again and receive us unto himself. He has declared, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. There is but one hope of our calling. God has called us to his own kingdom and glory. We rejoice in hope of that glory of God. They're wonderful statements and promises, but we've touched on what we have not touched on what the intermediate state is. We've touched on things that we have now. We've touched on things that will be ours once the resurrection takes place, once the bodies and souls of the saints are once again united, that future glory that's going to belong to each one of us. The whole object of the Epistle to the Hebrews is to show that our portion is heavenly in contrast with Judaism. When Israel is restored, their portion will again be earthly. Our place and calling is in the heavenlies. But how far does the Word of God show us our intermediate state? That is, the time from being in this tabernacle in which we groan and the time where it will be glorified when Christ comes and shall change our vile body and fashion it like his own glorious body. After death, before the rapture, what is that intermediate state? Now, grasping the precious truth that our calling and portions are heavenly, all becomes plain. Our citizenship now and always is heavenly. How far we enjoy it when we die is the only question. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him, though dead from this world. They are from him and alive forever, and so for faith. The notion that after death the soul will be sleeping and be unaware of whatever is happening is not scriptural ground at all. Stephen fell asleep, that is, he died, but that was not his soul. We also read, those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. It is the body that is referred to as being asleep, and when the body is reunited with the soul, God will bring such with him. The body will wake up again in resurrection as a man out of sleep. Christians have Christ as their life. They know that being at home in the body, They know that being at home in the body is not being absent from the Lord. Being absent from the body is being in the presence of Christ. Christians have eternal life in Christ, but there it is absent from the Lord in the earthen vessel. When it leaves the poor earthen vessel, it will be present with the Lord. Paul says that it's far better. He was living in the good of his relationship with Christ. He was in a strait betwixt two, to depart and be with Christ, which was far better, that is, dying, it was to be gain. Far better that his present enjoyment of living with Christ. Paul had a unique situation. He was enjoying Christ. He was having that pleasure of having fellowship with the Lord. And he was looking forward to something that was going to be far better. He was having the blessing and joy of knowing Christ was his life and living eternally for him, entirely for him, so that it was worth his while to say, it will be far better and gain to go to be with Christ. Now, soul sleep could not be spoken of in that way. Soul sleep, where there's no understanding of what's happening, that can't be far better. When Paul was enjoying it now, enjoying the eternal life, enjoying what Christ has given him now, it can't be far better to have a sense of what's going on. It has to be that he will have a complete knowledge and enjoyment of being with the person of Christ. Now there's more. Now the Lord declares to the thief that he will be with him that day in paradise. It was happening that he was promising him. It was happiness that he would be with him in paradise. This conversation we know is recorded in Luke 23. It says in verse 42, he said to Jesus, "Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord tells the thief that it would not be necessary to wait for the kingdom. It will be today. Now, the wickedness of the Jews actually fulfilled the promise by breaking his legs. It was to fulfill that promise, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Often crucifixion would last for a number of days, but the Lord knew that it would be today that he would die. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The intermediate state then is not glory. That will take place when the body is raised. But it is being with Christ himself, the source of our joy, the hopes of Paul, of Stephen. They were not disappointed. The assurance that the Lord gave to the thief did not fail. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. When the Lord describes the state of the rich man and Lazarus, did it mean that either the wicked or the just were asleep and knowing nothing? Not at all. They both were keenly aware of their surroundings. Our spirit enjoys Christ now, though there be hindrances of many kinds. It's not our body that enjoys him now, it's our soul spiritually, though absent from him. But when we will be with him, we're told that it will be fullness of joy. Many dear saints on their deathbed have real peace and joy with the prospect of soon seeing the Lord face to face and hearing his voice. Will it be, rise up, my fair one, and come away, like in the Song of Solomon? Or will it be, come hither, come up hither, and I will show thee all things, like in Revelation 4? Whatever it would be, it will usher them into the experience of that fullness of joy. Now, I'm sure there are other portions of scriptures that would give us some inclination that when we go to be with Christ, it's not being asleep and be oblivious as to what's going on. We will be completely alert and aware of what's happening. We will see the Lord's face. We will hear his voice. We will be rejoicing. It will be the fullness of joy, something that none of us have ever experienced in the past. Oh, we have experienced some joy. From time to time, we've experienced joy and pleasure, but when we're with Christ, it will be fullness of joy. Now, we know of dear ones that might be there soon. We know that their experience will be just that, fullness of joy. We know that now some of them have even mentioned how they long to see the Lord to come. I remember our brother Henry Short, when he had the stroke and he was in a pretty bad shape and they were wanting to remove the life support. His daughter said, Daddy, do you want to go with Jesus? To be with Jesus. Yes, he said, yes. And that was all that was needed. They pulled the life support. He wanted to be with the Lord. Wonderful thing. Oh, we miss them. We miss those that have gone before. There's often a void that no one else can fill, but Jesus can fill that void. While we're here, we can enjoy his presence and enjoy the word of God and enjoy the promises and all of the things that he has to share with us. We can enjoy those things, but we have to admit, as wonderful as those pleasures are, it's not anything like the time where we'll be with Christ with the fullness of joy. Now, There is another hymn I would like to bring to your attention. "'Tis sweet to think of those at rest who sleep in Jesus the Lord, whose spirits now with him are blessed according to his word. They once were pilgrims here with us. In Jesus now they sleep, and we for them while resting thus, as hopeless cannot weep. How bright the resurrection morn on all the saints will break. The Lord himself will then return the ransomed church to take. Our Lord himself will then shall see, whose blood for us was shed. With him forever we shall be made like our glorious head. We cannot linger o'er the tomb, the resurrection day. The faith shines bright beyond the gloom, to Christ's glory to display." Well, I'm sure there are a number of other hymns as well that will give us the same sentiments. It's a wonderful thing to be here with Christ, to be here enjoying him, to be having fellowship with the Father and the Son, which is something that has been much upon my heart. Fellowship with the Father and the Son now. We don't wait until the Lord calls us home. We can have that fellowship now. And I have to go back, and I've asked myself a number of times, what does it mean to have fellowship with the Father and the Son now? It's the same as the apostles' fellowship. It's the same as the Spirit's fellowship. It's the same as having fellowship with the truth, fellowship with the Father and the Son. It simply means to have same desires, same goals, same exercises, same thoughts as the Father and the Son. And where do I find that? I find that in the Word of God. That's where I get those thoughts. That's where I can start having fellowship with the Father and the Son. And what happens if I make mistakes? What happens if I sin along the way? Well, it hinders that fellowship. And I can't be enjoying fellowship with the Father and the Son when that happens. But I confess it and deal with it and get it made right and once again enjoy that fellowship. Well, it doesn't mean that I'm having no fellowship at all. I can be enjoying certain things and have a mistake in something else, but it hinders the fellowship. And it's a wonderful fellowship. I hear people speak of our fellowship. Well, you sort of know what they're saying, but it's inferior to fellowship with the Father and the Son. The apostles' fellowship, doctrine and fellowship go together. The teaching of the Spirit of God that's found in the Word of God, that's where we understand the ways of God. And by doing that, we have fellowship with the apostles. And John tells us his fellowship, their fellowship is with the Father and the Son. So I just share a few of those things that have been on my heart. Those that have gone before, what a privilege is theirs. When Edna's father went to be with the Lord, he quoted that hymn, "In thy presence we can suffer, in thy presence we can die." And it was not long after that he went into the presence of his Lord. Well, we know of different ones. We know that those have gone in before. But you know, when you think of death, it's not a fearful thing. Oh, we want to be here and serve the Lord as much as we can. We want to be here and be of some encouragement to God's people as much as we can. But death is not a fearful thing. It's lost its sting. It's lost its power. And we just wait for the moment that the Lord will call us into his presence. Wonderful to know that there's no fear in death. We might not understand sometimes why certain ones of the Lord's people have to suffer a little bit before they go to be with the Lord. That's the Lord's prerogative. But when it's all said and done, it's the fullness of joy that they experience now and that we will experience, no doubt, in a very soon coming day. We'll just have a little prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for these few thoughts about those that have gone before. That intermediate state, as some call it, what will it be like after death but before the resurrection? We know, our Father, from the Word of God, it cannot be anything less than the fullness of joy. And when these bodies get reunited with the spirit and soul once again, it'll be the glory that we'll be enjoying in the presence of Christ. What a wonderful prospect is ours as we wait for the Lord's coming again. And so, our Father, we just pray that these few thoughts might prove to be a little encouragement and blessing as we seek to help each other to go on just another day, just a little longer, as we wait for the Lord's return. And so we thank thee for the few thoughts we've had before us. Pray that it might have been a blessing for each one. We ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll open that up for any that have some comments on this most wonderful subject of what will it be to dwell above.
Well, now. Boy, Don. I've got some questions. You refer to the thief on the cross. The Lord said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. As far as I can tell, we get just a glimpse of what those in with the Lord are doing. Luke 16, for one, the rich man and Lazarus. But that was before the Lord's resurrection, and that was in paradise. And it talked about the great gulf fixed, where one couldn't go to one side or the other in paradise. But yet he saw Abraham, I say that was before the Lord's resurrection. So now in the glory where the Lord is, because people say we'll be reunited with loved ones. And I can't find any scriptures that say that, other than I think of David when the child was died, that his child with Bathsheba, he says, he can't come to me, return to me, but I shall go to him. So that's one. And then, in Matthew, somewhere in Matthew, I can't remember where we're at, it talks about when the Lord says, the many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. So, and I think he talks about in the kingdom of heaven or something like that. So I don't know what that means. And I don't know, are we reunited with relevance? I think when the Sadducees, questioned the Lord and talked about, if a man dies and, he leaves a widow and she marries his brother or, and he dies and she marries another, whose wife is she going to be in the glory? And he says, well, there's no marriage, like the angels, there's no marriage in heaven, but you're like the angels. So are we brothers and sisters there instead of former husband and wives? But won't we? I have so many questions. Will we recognize one who is our wife or our husband or our children as our children? Will they be brothers and sisters? What say you?
I can't put my finger on the reference, but there is a verse that tells us what God has done, he has done forever.
Yeah, it's in the, yeah. Yeah, and there's been, yeah. Was that in Ecclesiastes or?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
So that tells me.
Yeah, Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing shall be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, and men should fear it before him.
Yes. Yeah. That tells me that what God has done here will be something of that that'll last for eternity. Marriages, children, different things that have happened in our lives, there will be some recognition. It'll not at all be what we've experienced here. I think we're clear on that. But there will be some recognition of what God has done in the relationships that we've had over the years. I think that we can say what God has done, he does forever. So I don't know what it's going to be like. None of us do. But we've been given just enough to make us want to know. What is it that those that have gone ahead are experiencing? I don't know for sure. We have just those few thoughts. As you mentioned, David's going to go to the child. What God has done, he's done forever. How that all works out, well, I think we'll find out someday. But there's something unique, something special about what God has done in our lives while we've been here. That's all that comes to my mind. I don't know if that's any help or not.
You know, you talk about things going to your imagination. This is one of mine. I wonder, those who've gone to be with the Lord, have they stepped outside of the realm of time? So, you know, is 1,000 years is a day is 1,000 years. I mean, are they going like every day, are they seeing what's going on here? Is it day by day, or is it they've just been such out of the realm of time, you know?
Yes.
I think about that. You can think yourself crazy. I mean, you know.
Well, there will be some, and again, I don't understand it to the fullest at all, but there will be some administration here on earth that the Lord's people will be taking part in. And that's about all I can say. I don't know how far that goes. I don't know. Be thou over 5 cities, be thou over 10 cities. Some will take that and run with it. I think we have to be very careful. What does it mean? I don't know for sure, but there's something in administration, dream the kingdom, that the Lord's people will have some involvement in.
And another point that you brought up, Joe, think about Luke 13:28. You know, you're talking about paradise before the Lord was, while the Lord was on the cross, he talked about paradise, and the thief would be with him. But after that, I think in Luke 13, I think it's still talking about after that, because it says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And so it seems like it's a similar situation to how Lazarus and Abraham were seen by the rich man before the Lord died. Seems like here is describing after the Lord died, there'll still be people who are able to see Abraham and the prophets, but not partake in the in paradise, or however you would describe it. At least that's how I seem to read it. Mm-hmm.
I think, like Joe was saying, we all have a lot of questions as to what it's going to be like. How old will I be there? I mean, what will I look like? Will I look young? Will I look old? I won't have white hair because that, I don't think. But, you know, we don't know the answer to these. But one thing I noticed is you were talking, Don, you started out by mentioning this person who said as they were dying, you know, beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I know Vern Reed, he said, wonderful, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Talking about what they saw there, the place. But most of the scriptures that you mentioned and others that I've noticed, it's the person with Christ, which is far better. Philippians 1:23, with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, and in 1 Thessalonians 4, forever with the Lord. And then in John 17, where I am with me. And in the thief, of course, with me in paradise. And John 14:3, where I am, there ye may be also. So all those verses, it's the person of Christ. You know, it seems like that's the what the scriptures dwell on, the person, not necessarily the place and the beauty of the place. You know, we talk about streets of gold and things like that, you know, which may be in the millennium, but could be the eternal state too. But I think we're going to, it's going to be the person that will be our focus and not the place.
I remember one time in my Darby translation, he had a note on paradise that the word is simply a Persian garden. Well, it must have been pretty exotic. But, you know, there's a place. And we know that when Adam and Eve were in the garden after they sinned, the Lord came seeking them. Adam, where art thou? And, of course, he was hiding, but he was seeking that enjoyment with his creature in the place that he had set him. In pleasant places are the lines. But when Paul was there, there were things that he heard and saw that were unlawful to speak. Now, it wasn't unlawful to know, for him to know, because he saw them. But apparently it was something that couldn't be communicated by human means. You just had to see it for yourself. It was so, so wonderful, so beautiful. But, you know, even now we think of the things that God has created speaking something about himself. They witness of him. So everywhere we would look in that scene, it would just be one beautiful aspect of himself after another. But it's interesting that the first one apparently to be with Christ there, that we read about anyway, was the thief on the cross. This is the power of the grace of God to a believer, one who had confessed his sin and acknowledged God as the righteous one, and owning his kingdom. He wanted to be with him in that kingdom. I'm sure it'll have a very, well, an eternal sense of home and of rest. anyway, there's enough to, can I say, meditate on without veering off into speculation and dreaming. What comes up from the heart is just of the flesh.
David Hemmen, do you have any thoughts on this subject?
Only that he said it hasn't entered into our hearts or minds, the things that he has prepared. So it's beyond even our speculation.
Yeah.
I've often had these same thoughts as you fellows are expressing. Yeah, what's it going to be like? I think he's going to delightfully answer that question.
Yes, what will it be like? There's a brother over in England that I knew. A sister over there just didn't have any good thing to say about him. And when one day he said to her, "When we get to heaven, you're going to love me just as much as your own husband." Well, that didn't sit too good for the time, but I'm sure it's right. Everything's going to change, isn't it?
Yeah, we shall be changed.
Yes. It'll be wonderful, wonderful. You know, we've had some that have been very difficult to get along with. And when we get to be with the Lord, there'll be none of that. There'll be none of that. We'll be like him. Well, we should make every effort to be like him now. And then the transition won't be so great. Wonderful if we can cultivate those things that mark the Lord Jesus and make them part of our life now. Well, Joe, can I ask you if you would close our little time with prayer, please?
Well, our Father, your word says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Your ways are just so past finding out. But, Lord, as we contemplate being with thee, like again your word says, and our brother has quoted, "The eye hath not seen nor ear heard yet, or even can enter into the heart of man, the things that God has for those that love him." And Father, we long for that day when we shall see thee face to face. And Lord Jesus, as we wait for your coming and see you face to face, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Lord, though we have questions and sometimes our imaginations go wild, and Lord, and that's just like our brother said, that's our flesh. We do wonder these things, and yet, Lord, we trust thee that thou art perfect and thou art so good, Lord, that there is nothing ever to fret, but always something to look forward to when we shall be with thee and we shall be changed and be like unto thee. So we thank you for this great hope that we have, we long to see thee, Lord. We really do. We see thee face to face, and we thank you for all these thoughts that we've discussed tonight and brought. Help us to, again, like our brother said, be more conformed to the image of our dear Son. We ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.